This time on episode 247 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we discuss Legion Chapter 11, weekly Marvel news, and your feedback.
I'm Jamie, a.k.a. Scumboy.
I'm Andrew Walsh, a.k.a. Bat Phantom.
I'm Kevin, a.k.a. Neon Nazgul from the Operation Pug Podcast.
A proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show is recorded on Sunday, June 24th, 2018, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast astroplane-wide via www.geeks.live. Ladies, happy National Pralines Day.
So is anybody else going to run out to the gas station and buy some, like, as soon as we're done recording?
Sure. Let me just go load up on pralines.
Not sure my gas station has pralines.
Oh, it is so good to live in Texas, y'all.
But I'm sure the grocery store that it's attached to has pralines, so I'll be able to go do that.
Yeah, there's very few times when I can say it's so good to live in Texas these days, but today it is so good to live in Texas.
So a lot of other times there's been like 5, 6, at least 3 or 4 different things, different national days going on. Not today. Today is only National Pralines Day. Definitely want to stoke up on those pralines.
Because pralines are so important, they can't share a holiday.
I mean,
well, they are tasty.
Indeed. And let's get done with this podcast so we can have some pralines. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast is a fan-based show on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which we just started our 5th week of hiatus after the season 5 finale. The multiple Marvel's Defenders series on Netflix for now, Legion on FX, which we are continuing season 2 today, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic and comic book universes in general.
Because of surprise cows.
If you'd like to talk to us about surprise cows, you can visit our website, legendsofshield.com.
You can leave us a voicemail line about cows at 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
You can tell us your best surprise cow stories on Facebook at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can tweet us about cows on Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You can look at all of our video companions with or without cows on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
You can tell your Amazon device to enable the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. skill.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
All right, ladies, we're just going to jump right into it today. Legion Chapter 11. Chapter 11 of Legion aired Tuesday, April 17, 2018 on the FX channel and earned a 0.380 rating. That is the lowest rating by far in the series at this point. Legion was renewed for a third season on June 1st, 2018, about a month and a half after this episode aired. So we are definitely going to get a third season of this show. Michelle, who directed this episode?
Wait, you're not going to ask me what the title means?
Okay, Haley, what does Chapter 11 mean?
Everyone knows Chapter 11 is all about bankruptcy, and this episode went deep into tax law and finance law to discuss the effects of declaring bankruptcy for the show.
I don't think that's what happened at all.
I very clearly remember that.
No, it's just Chapter 11.
I think you guys are confused.
Like Chapter 11 in a book versus Chapter 11 in some legal code?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
No, you guys are confused.
Mm-hmm. I think you're the one that's confused, and you do not remember even referencing Buzz Lightyear either.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Go back and listen to that episode. It's in the post credits. All right. So, no. Michelle, who directed this episode?
This episode was directed by Sarah Adina Smith, has 10 directing credits starting 2006, including two episodes of Wrecked, two episodes of Room 104, one episode of Legion, and two episodes of Hannah, which is in pre-production and is based on the film.
Hmm.
And I like that film, so good luck on that TV show.
Yeah, that was a pretty good movie.
Indeed. So, Haley, who co-wrote this episode?
That would be the showrunner, Noah Hawley. He has 8 writing credits going back to 2006, including 6 episodes of Bone, 14 of Legion, which is almost every episode. And then he was also a producer on Bones, The Unusuals, My Generation, Legion, and Fargo.
And Lauren, who was the other co-writer for this episode?
The other co-writer is Nathaniel Halpern, who is also the Legion co-creator and co-producer. He has 8 credits since 2010, including one of The Killing, one of Manhattan, 3 of Resurrection, 9 of Outcast, a short called This Land We Roam, 10 episodes of Legion, and an upcoming show called Joe Petrosino, which is about a famous cop who lived in New York in the 1900s, like the early, like, the year 1900.
So that would make him a gumshoe?
I think this is even pre-gumshoe.
Ooh, there you go. So it's kind of in between, like, the Sherlock Holmes sort of street beat cop and the gumshoes.
Yeah, did you ever watch the show Copper?
No, I never did.
Oh, yes, it was very good.
Okay. Yeah, it's like right around then, a little bit later than then. If you ever watched, oh man, it's a medical show, but I love it. It had Clive Owen. I don't know. Anyway, it's like right around that era too.
Okay. Well, looking forward to seeing that. What network is that going to be on? Do you know?
It does not say.
All right.
It just says pre-production.
We'll have to find that out. All right. So this episode was kind of confusing and kind of non-confusing because things are starting to come together. This is the first episode that I have only watched one time, and that was in preparation for this podcast within a day of actually podcasting versus the other two episodes that I've watched previously and was reviewing. And this episode, there was a lot of things that came to light and a lot more questions that needed answering. Now, first of all, we're going to talk about our dear monk, because our monk, who we have skirted around for the past two episodes, we finally get to meet and talk to, and then he kind of goes away. It's a comic book show, so it won't say that he's not going to not come back, but I don't know. There's always a possibility. Anyway, Michelle, what's up with the monk?
The monk, we learned, was actually in the quarantine room. And the episode starts with him escaping in through the air shaft and into Division 3. He's able to take over the children because his helm is like a Pied Piper effect. And he gets a hold of David, and David sees his mind, and we see in his mind, and we learn the story of how, well, David's father, who we're calling Professor X, but in the show it's David's father, sent Farouk's body to this monastery, and the monk was one of many monks, but the body went boom, 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 driving the other monks mad, and he left and went into the world because he just couldn't take it anymore.
And it was a silent monastery too, right? So they weren't talking at all previously, right?
Right. So when that one monk started to laugh, then you knew trouble was coming.
Now, they did reference a couple of epidemics in the opening credits, right? So the opening credits give us a lesson in the episode, which basically is, can the mind create something that's real, right? So it goes through the physical illness, and that it's the physical illness is created in your mind, and it could go out to anybody. And we'll get back to that in a second. But one of the things that was talked about was it was an epidemic like some laughing epidemic. Was that this laughing epidemic, or was that different?
This is different. What the monk does is, so the monk is the source of the catalyst. And what people aren't understanding, like, Division 3 thinks that because Oliver was around all the teeth chattering people, it had to be Farouk. but it wasn't Farouk. It was the monk. And it was the effect the monk had around people.
So the way I understood it is that Farouk had an effect on all these people at the monastery. Like, there was the guy that had the laughing fit. That was clearly not an isolated incident because there was more than one person hanging later. The monk, I think, was not affected in the same way. He became a carrier for something Farouk had done, is the way I interpreted what's happening. Because they talk about him like, I think they said Typhoid Mary or something. You know, he's a carrier for this mental malady, but he's not affected by it, which is why he's affecting all these other people.
Yes. Which the whole thing about the nocebo at the beginning and about people kind of spreading these things, that, again, it's these little things that fascinate me. Nocebos are actually a thing. If you tell somebody this thing is going to hurt you, okay, a placebo is a thing where you tell people this thing is going to help you and people believe it. You give somebody a sugar pill and you say this thing is going to help your pain, and people will believe, like, they're in a certain percentage of people, they will believe, okay, this is going to help my pain. And even though it's just a little pill of nothing, it'll help. And if you tell people this little sugar pill is going to poison you, they will start to get sicker because it's just, they're expecting it. There's actually, it's called Chinese restaurant syndrome. People think that, okay, monosodium glutamate, it's this big scary thing. All it is it's a flavor enhancer. It's a slight little thing. And there is a small percentage of people who are very sensitive to it, just like there's a small percentage of people who are very sensitive to many chemicals.
Like gluten.
Yes. But because this, in, you know, American culture and Western culture, oh, the scary foreign thing, it's, oh, I ate something, I feel bad. It must be bad Chinese food because of the monosodium glutamate, because this is a thing. And it's, again, you expect a thing and you expect a bad thing may happen. And the same thing with this example of that they give of the twitch that spreads through this little cheerleading population at the beginning of the episode. History is full of these things that like that happen. I think they gave the example of like a laughing plague at the beginning. There's all these little psychological things that happen. There's all these interesting little cultural bound phenomenon and things like that. Even yawning. The whole is yawning contagious thing. The thing is, we don't know. It's just as likely to be a psychological thing as an actual physiological thing. People have done experiments to see if snapping turtles, you can make snapping turtles yawn by yawning at them. And the conclusion is no, because they're turtles. But it's this whole, can we spread our weird psychological stuff? Because we are a social animal, and we tend to spread our good psychoses and our bad psychoses. And it's just one of those interesting things. And that's one of the things that I find so fascinating about this show. It just kind of takes those things and picks at them.
So, Michelle, you actually did some research into the various references in the illnesses becoming real?
Yes, these are what they mentioned is actually true. The dancing plague of 1518, this woman went into the village, started dancing, and then other people started to join her. People ended up dying from heart attacks and like dehydration and stuff because they just wouldn't stop. The laughter epidemic, 1962, it started at a school. These two girls, I guess they told each other a joke and they just wouldn't sort of like stop laughing and stop doing this tick. And it went through all of them, all of the school. And then their parents, and then it apparently went to another couple school. It lasted like 6 months to a year and a half. The Hindu milk miracle, people actually thought the statue of Ganesh was actually drinking the milk. It was most likely more like a capillary straw effect instead of an actual miracle. But people ignored this. Everybody, even though they were presented with, this is the science behind it, people were still like, No, it's so true. It's a miracle. And then they thought other statues were doing the same thing. And with the cheerleaders, that's conversion disorder. That's also a real thing where mental stress becomes a physical disorder. So the show is not making that mm-hmm. type of stuff up.
If you want a really interesting read, go to the Wikipedia page on, okay, it's under mass hysteria. A better term is collective obsessional disorder. And it's a phenomenon that transmits collective illusions of threats, whether real or imaginary, through a population in society as a result of rumors and fear. It goes all the way back from the cat nuns of the Middle Ages in France, which is less interesting than it sounds. They are not like little cats in nun costumes. It was just a bunch of...
I assumed they were the nuns like on Doctor Who that were
They were
like,
nuns in a convent that started meowing. And eventually all the nuns would gather together and start meowing. And then all the way up
to
the clown sightings in 2016. And there's just all the way through. It goes through the laughing epidemic. It goes through in Malaysia. It doesn't say what exactly it was, but there's a link to it. But the locals explained the outbreak as spirits having possessed the girls and young women. There's the West Bank fainting epidemic of 1983. Where mostly almost 1,000 Palestinian teenage girls and a small number of IDF females fainted or complained of feeling nauseous in the West Bank. There's the strawberries with sugar virus in May 2006 in Portugal. It's just all these things. It's weird little things, and most of them you've probably never heard of. Some of them you have heard of, and it's fascinating.
I thought the clowns was actually just people dressing up as clowns.
Some of them were. There was one up in the DFW area where I think it was DFW. It could have been Katy, but it was in the news. A guy was jogging and some guy was dressed as a clown and jumped out to scare him. And the guy punched him. And the clown freaked out and ran off. And he said, "This is Texas. Somebody could have shot him. Please don't do this." But it could have just been like, "Oh, I thought I saw a clown." Because one of the things that's fun about people is a phenomenon called pareidolia, where we are programmed to recognize patterns, particularly faces. It's a survival mechanism. So it's dusk. It's kind of dark. You're looking around. You think you see a scary face. It could be a clown. You don't know.
Is this why you have a paranoia of finding a clown in your shower?
It's not a clown. It's a skeleton. But...
You were talking about clowns before.
It could be a clown, but mostly I'm scared of finding skeletons or dead bodies in my shower.
What if it's a skeleton of a clown?
It could be that, and that is the worst.
Okay, so we're going to move on from the clowns and skeletons in the shower and so on and so forth, and we're going to talk about the monk again. So we're going to talk about the monk who is hovering above Fukuyama and the Vermilions. And his interaction there with David and Melanie. And then we're going to talk about what happens to him afterwards. So Haley, make sense of that to me, because I don't know what happened.
They're in somebody's mind. I think they're in the monk's mind. I think David went into the monk's mind. But also Sid is there. So he jumped off the building in his own mind. That doesn't mean anything bad happened to him, because it's his mind. He can do what he wants.
No. They're actually there, because the monk takes over and is connected, and he's asking about a weapon. Where's the weapon? And Fukuyama is like, "We never built it. We never got around to it, because it's basically, we dumped Farouk off at the monastery. We forgot about him. We never went back to check on if this very dangerous thing we gave you was actually going to do anything to you. So we dumped it off and we forgot about you, and other things came up, and oh yeah, so sorry, we don't have a weapon." Melanie says, "David's the weapon." The monk says, "No, David is." And then David is like, "No," and takes them up to the roof. And David is trying.
Well, does David have that ability to move people yes. to different places?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Remember he moved the MRI machine before. It wouldn't surprise me if a person is, okay. You know, people are lighter.
I forgot about that.
He's trying to convince the monk that, "Just tell me where the body is
and I totally will be okay with it.
And the monk is like, no, things are already going bad. Because David in this episode is like, I believe future Sid. Future Sid told me to help Farouk find his body. I have to find the body. And then the monk is like, nope. And he's like, we are not afraid to die. And then he dies. He just like, see ya. Jumps off the roof. Bye.
And future Sid is trying to intervene back with him saying, hurry. And it's spelled out in the letters that she was using in previous episode, one letter at a time throughout the episode. And it culminates when they're on the roof, when the monk and David's on the roof and the hurry is there. So there is still an expectation of time is running out, at least on the future side, which leads to an interesting conversation that had happened previously in Farouk's mind in the poolside. And this is in two phases. First of all, Lenny is pleading with David to let her out of there or to get Farouk to let her out of there. And she even goes so far as to shoot herself with a soap bubble gun to try to get out of there. And she pulls out her hair and that sort of stuff. That was kind of freaky, wasn't it, Michelle?
Yes. This goes to show you that when Lenny died, Farouk actually plucked her and brought or made her his prisoner, his pet. And she really is tired of it. She's like, I've done what you've said. I really would like to get out. She tries to hang herself. She, you know, tries to shoot herself. She cannot do anything to leave. She really wants to.
And that's not solved at all in this episode, but it does show that she's still acting like a junkie, whether or not she still is a junkie, I don't know, but she's acting like a junkie. And there's that. And so the second part of the conversation was David and Farouk. And Farouk ends the conversation by basically saying, so you're so keen to help this future girl in the world, but once you help her, she's going to be gone. Well, first of all, Haley, in terms of time travel, that's kind of no duh, right?
Yeah, I guess depends. Again, we've had this conversation before on Marvel material. Depends on what theory of time travel they're using. So it's possible that this Sid is going to blink out of existence when the timeline changes. It's possible that it's, you know, a parallel reality that she's in the future of. So if David changes his current timeline, she would still be unaffected. You know, hard to say.
Maybe future Sid is with Deke.
Maybe. Or maybe that timeline is locked in. You know, the future is immutable as the past.
It could be. But the other part to this that I'm kind of, I mean, you're talking about a future Sid. You have a current Sid that is going to be the future Sid or some version. David should still be caring about her in the present, not just the future. So, okay, future Sid is gone. You still have current Sid. So what's wrong with that?
He didn't stop caring about current Sid at any point.
Right, but
yeah, he cares about them both is the thing.
Right.
Like, but at one point, he says, I have a girlfriend. I have two girlfriends.
Right. So, Farouk is saying that, so this future Sid is going to go away. Okay. So, you get to be with current Sid and make her future Sid. Whatever. I don't think it's a big deal. And I think in this episode, they depicted it as a big deal. I personally don't think it's a big deal. What am I missing?
Something I can't talk about because I don't want to spoil the future episodes.
Yeah, there we go.
But that in his mind, a person he cares about would die.
Well,
like even if she's dying, you know, 30 years in the future or whatever it is, she's still dying.
Yeah, it's that whole thing of, okay, you've met this person now. It's no longer an abstract concept. And now you know that this person you have met, you will be destroying. Like, I can see using that guilt against somebody if you are a terrible person.
Maybe I'm a terrible person because I'm like, okay, so you're saving billions of people, so it should be fine. But
yeah, but...
Well, no, I don't mean like, okay, the terrible person part comes in when you are using that whole, okay, now that you've met that person, you're going to kill them. You have looked them in the eyes and you're going to kill them.
Yeah.
When before it was just, hey, you are fixing this terrible future.
Mm-hmm. And the human mind doesn't really process like the deaths of large numbers of people like that. Like we were much better at dealing with like an individual story than the idea of like large numbers, you know, oh, so many millions of people are going to die or billions of people.
We're good at small numbers and we're good at short term. We are not good at large numbers and long term.
Okay. Which is probably why I don't like Walking Dead anymore, because that's long term. Anyway, we're going to talk about mazes and we're going to talk about head mazes here. So we get into a couple of head mazes, at least two, maybe three. So there's the garden maze, right, Lauren? The garden maze. You remember that?
Yes. So the whole thing with the garden maze is they go into Potonomy's mind, and his whole thing is he's gardening, which if you've ever, okay, a lot of times they recommend gardening and bonsai and stuff like that to people as a way of relaxing. You focus on the present. It's a very relaxing activity. It's sort of a Zen thing. And with him in particular, because he's somebody, his particular powers are so stressful. He's kind of focused on everything and everyone. It's sort of a wishful thing. It's keeping him here in the moment in one place. And he gets to the end of the row and he forgets. And again, because his whole thing is he remembers everything. It's nice. It is a very nice kind of thing for him. But it's also at the same time a form of torture because it's not how his mind works. It's that whole thing. There's a lot of, again, getting into the real world for a bit. There's a lot of contention in the autistic community because of groups like Autism Speaks, where they're like, let's find a cure. And actual autistic people are like, I don't need to be cured. This is just how my mind works. This is who I am. So if somebody wants to take a part of you that, even if it's bothersome, is something that you take as a part of you and remove it, it's upsetting in a lot of ways. So I could see it being, on the one hand, relaxing, on the other hand, very upsetting. And they're able to bust him out of it anyway. So
they are. I think he would have gone well into the movie 51st Dates. I think that would have been good for
Mace. I haven't seen that movie in forever.
I know I haven't either, but it was, I remember it being a fun movie. So maybe I'll see it again in my outdoor theater this summer. We'll see. There was another maze that was very interesting, Haley. It was Melanie's maze, which was based on a text adventure.
Right. It's just kind of, well, they get through the part to get to the story. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got to solve the puzzle. But then she tells her story, and it's, you know, like a fairy tale almost, but it's not a happy fairy tale. Like, you know, she didn't have her own dream, and then she met somebody with a dream. And his dream became her dream, but then she realized she did have a dream, and her dream was to be carefree. So she's spent her whole life with all this responsibility and duty, all in service of her husband's dream. And what she really wants is to not have any of that.
I had the opinion that that was all David typing that in, rather than her telling the story.
No, that was her.
Mm-hmm. No, it's David. David's typing it in.
Oh.
Yeah, so he's the one that's typing because they're playing along, and then they finally get to, they fall down the ladder because they went down the ladder, and it's like darkness, and then they're like, look around, and it's like, you were in the maze. You have to keep moving or the Minotaur will get you. David tries to make a light. It doesn't work. It turns red. It says dead end, and then David's basically had enough, and he does like that whole knuckle thing, and then he's like typing.
Oh, yeah. It's the same thing that she told him earlier.
Right. He's typing the story that she told him. Yeah.
Also, I want to talk about this Minotaur thing. Have any of y'all read House of Leaves by Mark Danielewski?
No, I haven't.
Okay. It's a book that is a maze. And like it's the text moves. Well, it doesn't physically move. It's a book. But it kind of wraps around the page in parts. There's these footnotes that are there to distract you. It's several stories within a story. And there's a Minotaur that lives in the maze that's there to get you. It's a really freaky book. I really enjoy it. If you ever look up lists of like scary books, that one is pretty much bound to be on there. But there were elements of this that reminded me of that. I mean, then again, the whole Minotaur and the Labyrinth, it's a thing. It's Greek mythology. But there's a feel to that book, and it's kind of reminding me of this episode. The whole little footnotes thing at the beginning. And oh, I wanted to mention also in Ptonomy's little maze thing, we get the little delusion creature from the first episode.
Okay.
Just the tar bug. Yeah, the tar bug enters his ear. That's the...
Ugh. Yeah, they kind of, you know, when they walk in, there's like, they lift up their foot and it's a little thing, and then they see it and pick it up.
But David's able to go in and he does something to get people out of their infection, because this is part of the chattering teeth infection that's been going around. And so he gets them out of it. So that's great that there can be a cure, at least temporarily. And David says, I think you're immune, but I'm not sure. Don't get too close. And I'm sure
it's like he's breaking the delusion.
Right, which we'll be interested to see how that applies to everybody else. And then also, you have this thing going on throughout the entire episode with the Loudermilks, which ends up with Carrie with a C ending up, the female Carrie.
Girl that, Carrie.
Yeah.
Carrie with a K.
Carrie with a K. She is affected by it. And then Carrie with a C cannot join back up, and they're really struggling with this living apart, living together thing, including going to out to eat and using the bathroom and stuff like that. So this is really affecting the two of them.
Watching Carrie with a K, girl Carrie, try to do all the normal boring stuff, on the one hand it's really funny, but on the other it's so sad. It's like watching a toddler who doesn't want to go down for a nap. Except with beer.
Cream soda.
Cream soda. Yeah, it's cream soda. Because that's not how you react the first time you have beer.
Yeah. Beer, when you first taste it, you're like, oh, what is this wet bread water?
But it was the joke I thought we were getting last week. She did have to poop this week.
Yeah. Of course, Carrie with a C, boy Carrie, is like, remember to wipe. And she's like, I know.
Have to stop.
And there is no resolution to that. There is a resolution to a few of the others, but there's no resolution to the Loudermilks in this episode. I hope that David's able to do something about it next episode. So it's very sad between the two of them. And it ends with no resolution. There's no resolution between the two of them as there are for a couple of the others, because the episode ends with David going into Sid's mind, and that's basically the last of the episode right there, which we'll get more of that next week. And also, even though we saw Lenny inside Farouk's mind, we didn't see Oliver, so no Oliver appearing in this episode. All right, so Lauren, are you any closer to figuring this season out yet?
Nope, but I'm enjoying the ride.
All right. Haley, are you enjoying the ride or have you figured it out?
I'm enjoying the ride. I'm almost of the opinion that maybe nothing is actually happening. Like,
I got that feeling.
It's all an elaborate hoax.
We get to the end of the episode, I'm like, well, okay, so what happened? There was no exciting conclusion. There was no crescendo to this episode. Like, wait, what happened? I didn't catch anything. Maybe I'm just dense, which is probably true.
No. Like, my thought is, like, maybe none of this season is actually happening. Not that, like, what's happening is not entertaining or anything. Like, maybe we're just, like, in somebody's mind this whole season. It was all a dream.
Maybe you're not really watching it.
Maybe none of us are really watching anything.
Michelle, was it any better the second time around?
Yes, because I know what to look for now.
So you're able to actually enjoy it and go through it and say, okay, this is what I need to pick up from this episode.
Yes, because the expectations that I had, I think that this is why I think viewership kind of plummeted. People thought this was going to happen. And it didn't by now. And I think that's why a lot of people, because there's really not a lot of plot going on.
Right. So I took a look at the season's ratings, and this was one of the, it wasn't the lowest, it was one of the lower. And you're right, it did plummet. And I think it plummeted partly because if I'm looking back at my viewing schedule and I only got through the second episode, I didn't have time with all the other shows on it at the same time to continue watching this, which in the summer now we've got the benefit of not much else on and we can plow through it. But I'm certain that that had something to do with it, that the combination of you can't figure it out, plus there's other stuff to watch, it just, it fell by the wayside for a lot of people.
Do you happen to have the, oh, dates? All right. I don't know.
So this was after all the shows came back in force after all of the spring break hiatus and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I was wondering if maybe it had had something to do with like a sports thing. Because yeah, those throw off ratings all over the place, but no, not in April.
Nope. All right. So we'll be coming back next Sunday talking about the fourth episode in this second season, chapter 12. It's really difficult to say the fourth episode, chapter 12. Anyway, fourth episode of the second season, chapter 12, and we'll take it from there. In the meantime, if you are looking for more geeky, great content, Michelle, we've got one for you.
Yes, one of the podcasts that we have is the Operation Pug Podcast. Podcast number 60, the E3 2018 cast. E3 came and went, and the podcast crew are back to bring you the roundup, as well as we address toxic fandom in Star Wars and review the delightful book Space Opera by Catherine M. Valente.
Valente.
And that's podcast number 60.
Such a good book.
So we've been talking about the unfolding drama we're getting from Stanley's life, and it's kind of tragic and sad to see. Police are now investigating elder abuse against him.
Yes, there was a restraining order granted, I guess, 2 weeks ago now, against his business manager and personal advisor, now former, I think on at least the personal advisor count, Kia Morgan, has been accused of taking advantage of Stanley's impaired hearing, vision, and judgment, moving Lee from his longtime family home, and preventing family and associates from contacting him. And he was arrested Monday for allegedly filing a false police report by calling 911 saying burglars were in his house, when in fact authorities were conducting a welfare check on Lee. So remember the whole people with guns were coming in story?
Yep.
Yeah, it sounds like that's what that was.
Oh, figure. Crazier. Yeah. Just gets crazier. Like I said before, if you find yourself in a position to help Stanley, please help Stanley, because apparently he needs it. Although it looks like at least the authorities are intervening when possible.
Next, we've got news about Ant-Man and the Wasp and post-credit scenes.
Yeah, it's been confirmed that the film has two post-credit scenes.
Now, are they actually in the post-credit or are they in the mid-credit? Do we know where they're placed?
I assume it's like it always is, one mid-credit, one at the very end.
Yeah. So if you need to run to the bathroom, wait for the mid-credits, sprint out and come back in, and then wait for the post-credit. Or just don't leave.
Yeah, just plant.
Yeah. Just diaper that, you know, catheter that.
Yep.
Have an empty soda bottle, you know.
Yeah.
And if you're a girl, a soda bottle and a funnel.
Yes.
Yeah. Or one of those shiwis.
Yes, which is basically a funnel.
Yep. All right. More news, mostly from movies. Tom Holland reveals, as he always does, any information. And in this case, it's the title for Spider-Man 2.
Okay. So he's at a convention this weekend. And he posted on his Instagram and said, I don't have any news this weekend, but I did just get the script. Holds up his iPad and it says, spoilers for the next, let's say, 15 seconds. Ready? Spider-Man Far From Home. Thanks again, Tom Holland.
It's a good thing he works for Sony instead of Marvel proper.
But the video hasn't been deleted yet, so I'm assuming this might have been a planned thing. And they're just capitalizing on the whole Tom Holland accidental spoiler thing.
Well, also, like, what's the point of removing it now? Like, the information's out there.
Yeah.
And then also, if you release it via anything that Tom Holland does, his fans will retweet it and repost it until infinity.
Oh my God, Tom Holland's fans, y'all. I'm getting the audio from Comicpalooza ready. I don't have much usable audio from Tom Holland's panel, but what I have is mostly screams from the fans. I do have some that's just him talking, but there's a lot. Wow, this guy's fans. Wow.
It's getting to the point where I will not believe Tom Holland in any movie where he's a spy, because he would be the worst spy. They were just like, where is, oh my God, I saw this thing. It was this huge base and it was over there and there's really cool planes and some lasers. And then be like, okay, no torture was needed. Thank you very much.
Have you seen, did we talk about the whole thing of Benedict Cumberbatch basically being assigned to him as his minder?
Yes. Yeah.
That was so good. It was so good.
Are we using our code names now?
Oh, we're using our made-up names.
All right. So more Spider-Man news. Apparently, they're working on casting now for the sequel, and they're trying to cast a gender non-conforming character.
Okay. The hashtag show recently uncovered three casting descriptions for the film, which seem to hint at three new high school-age characters joining the film. One of them calls for an 18 through 22-year-old of any ethnicity to play a gender non-conforming student. So gender non-conforming is like non-binary, gender fluid, agender, somebody who isn't traditionally masculine, feminine. So that's pretty cool. A lot of the genderqueer, non-binary, agender, etc. community I know really wants a lot more representation in the media. There's a non-binary person playing a non-binary character on the show Billions, for example, Asia Kate Dillon. And I think it would be really awesome if they were able to cast a gender non-conforming person and a gender non-conforming character in a Marvel movie. So we'll see. Fingers crossed. Speaking of which, happy Pride Month.
Yay. Okay, so more from the Sony Marvel stuff. Apparently, they're trying to develop a movie based on Silk, which is a rumor we've heard for years now.
Yeah, but this time it's totally happening, you guys. According to Deadline.com, Sony and Amy Pascal are in early development on a movie adaptation of Silk, which is about a Korean-American superheroine, Cindy Moon. So, I was not a huge fan of Silk when she first premiered, but as the story's gone on, she's become a lot more interesting. The best description I've heard of her is her origin story is kind of the same as the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt's, except instead of John Hamm, the cult leader, it's radioactive spiders. And the character is actually seen in Spider-Man Homecoming. She was played by Tiffany Espenson as a member of the Akadek team. And in Infinity War, she's seen on the bus as well. So we'll see what happens with that.
And we've talked about it a little bit before, that there might be a Black Widow movie coming up, and apparently Marvel is looking for a female director.
Again, so seriously happening, you guys, fingers crossed, according to Deadline.com. And there has been an update on it on this article. Marvel's looking for female directors. According to Deadline.com, Kate Shortland is on the short list. Ama Asante, who directed Belle, which is a fantastic movie, Kimberly Pierce, who directed Boys Don't Cry, and Maggie Betts, Novitante, are also on the shortlist. So I'm interested. Of course, I'm interested because of Black Widow, and I've been wanting a Black Widow solo movie forever, but with this director list, very directed.
Yep, we'll keep our eyes on it. And
did I say very directed? I meant very interested.
Yes.
Either way works, because we'll keep our eyes on it and we will look forward to additional notes.
We have some feedback to talk about this week from Twitter. @AdonnaGirl retweeted DiskKingdom.com.
Yeah, so we have San Diego Comic-Con coming up pretty soon. And what Adana Girl said was, Taika Waititi in a romp him. Disney has Dis Kingdom retweeted Funko's Marvel SDCC exclusive announced, all of which look cute, including Taika Waititi in that awesome pineapple, the pink pineapple romper looking thing. We also have the Mark One Iron Man. We have Kraglin with the Yondu little mohawk thing in the arrow. We have Thor with the lightning. We have Valkyrie with the swords. We have the Jessica Jones rock candy figure, which looks amazing. We have Marvel Dorbs 2-pack, Captain America and Red Skull. We have the Pop Marvel Classic Ant-Man. Cheerleader Deadpool, which looks adorable. Oh, and it's pink glitter. So all of those look absolutely adorable. If you're going to Comic Palooza, have fun and get merch.
Ooh, I'd like the Mark One Iron Man. That's cool.
I really want the Jessica Jones rock candy.
Looks good too.
Hey, Johnny at Born to Eat Bacon retweeted Chloe Bennett.
He said, imagine how hot she has to be in person then. Retweeting Chloe Bennett, who said, guy just now, you look like a tired version of that girl on that Marvel show I stopped watching. Me. Oh, yeah, man, I think that might just be me. Guy. No, you're much better looking. Having seen her in person, I can attest she is incredibly good looking.
She's fun to talk to, too. I mean, she's just energetic and bubbly and whatever. But if she was tired, I could maybe see her not looking like she would be on the set. And also, she probably wouldn't have her makeup on either.
And what did Mr. Pericletes have to say?
He said, you get the big guy, LOL. Comic Book Resources has pieced together a new and rather intriguing fan theory, which suggests the Incredible Hulk becomes an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. during Avengers 4. So there's a theory that Infinity War opened up a tear in the MCU timeline, and it's kind of based on that piece of art that we discussed a few weeks ago. The one that has Hulk in the picture, and he's wearing like this suit, and it has Hawkeye, it has beardless Cap. So all of that stems from that piece of concept art. It could well signal an adaptation of Marvel's Professor Hulk storyline, or, as CBR suggests, Mark Waid's Indestructible Hulk from 2013, in which Hulk agrees to work for S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm not sold on it, but I'm curious. We'll see.
Yeah, and he was still stuck inside Banner. He wouldn't come out and play, that sort of thing. So, yeah, maybe this is his way of coming out and, okay, I could be part of a team now. I don't have to be the most powerful being on the planet, sort of thing.
Hulk just want a muscle shirt.
unless you follow the fan theory that it was Loki who was sent back and not.
Well, there was a tweet, I think, last week or within the last week about people complaining about the size of Hulk's pecs and that it was going to arouse people in the theaters.
I saw that.
This is addressing that comment.
People wanted Hulk to wear a bra.
Are you kidding?
That reminds me of the whole back when they were making A New Hope. They got a note back from the studio that wanted Chewbacca to wear like pants or lederhosen or something.
Wouldn't that be great after Avengers 4 that the Hulk actually is on the next season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Wouldn't be the first time that the Hulk was on a weekly TV show.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't think that's in the current Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. budget, probably.
Also true.
Yeah.
Unless they just have Lou Ferrigno show up and paint him green again. Which I would watch the crap out of that.
So it's one of the criticisms of the series is that you didn't get as much crossover with the movies and the movie characters as we wanted. So I don't know. Maybe could be a fan wish. It could be something real. I don't know. We'll see next year. Well, thanks everybody for the feedback. It's great hearing from you all the time. I do get all the notifications myself on Twitter, and all the ladies have access to the Twitter and all the other accounts as well. In the meantime, we're going to find some sort of real, perhaps imaginary cow and moo this one out. It's actually something we didn't talk about from the episode. There was a cow. What was up with the cow? I don't know.
Minotaur? Although Muatar? I will say that particular breed of cow, FYI, is a Holstein, which is a milk cow.
That's correct. I actually knew that, having milked 120 head for several years. Yeah.
Yes.
And they're graded too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So it's out of 100, and the closer you get to 100, the better the cow is.
Yes. In case, I don't know, maybe this particular Minotaur is a particularly milky, I don't know. They mentioned the milk miracle.
Yeah, it's all connected.
It's all connected. Michelle's just looking on with that like little Cheshire Cat mystery grin.
Right. So we'll find out more next week. In the meantime, thank you very much for listening to the show and downloading the podcast. Really appreciate you sticking with us throughout this major Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. hiatus.
Thank you so much for watching along with us, for giving us links and feedback. We really love hearing from you guys. Thank you guys so very, very much. We love knowing that you think about us during the week.
Thank you to everyone who has watched the show and managed to not spoil any of us. I really appreciate each and every one of you for doing that.
And if any of you have ideas about what's going on this season of Legion, if you want to talk about what I've said and my interpretation of things, please contact us either through Twitter or our Facebook or our voicemail, because this is a very difficult season, and the more help we have, the better.
All right. Until next time, I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Bye. See you guys next week.
Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Oh, check this out. So I started sculpting because I want to make a thing for my friend.
Nice.
What is it?
A little baby dragon. I'm making the face and the paws, and then I'm going to attach that to a little cloth body.
Aww.
I thought you were going to sculpt the Wolverine to put on the little...
No, I'm going to make that. I'm going to make that a little, like, crochet thing.
Oh, okay. As we discussed.
Yes.
We forgot to talk about Farouk and how Professor X was basically the villain.
Ah.
We also forgot to talk about how Carrie said fudge.
No, I love that interpretation. You know, Farouk was like, I was a strong but just king, and here's this white man who doesn't know anything about us. Who?
I mean, true.
So does that line come up throughout the rest of the series, or was it just the one shot on it, Michelle?
Well, remember, like, Clark says to David, I thought you were the villain. And now we have this idea of David's father possibly being the villain. Because not only, according to Farouk, you know, him, Professor X, David's father, being the white male savior, but it's true. He dumped a very dangerous body with these monks, and no one ever went back to check on them. Like, they really did not know. They were not told how dangerous the body was. Mm. They just agreed to do it for David's father. Like,
yeah,
so Professor X, David's father, is a jerk.
Professor X is a jerk.
I would say something else, but I don't want, you know.
I mean, but they came up, you know, there was always something else that was going on. There was something that was diverting attention. So I get
He's
that.
He's always been a manipulative bastard that doesn't deal with the consequences of his actions.
I mean,
I said it.
Which version of Professor X are we talking about? Are we talking about all of them? Okay. You weren't going to let me get the Deadpool thing in, were you?
Sorry. Mm. Also, this is a family show. You can't get the Deadpool thing in.
Phrasing.
We did two whole episodes on Deadpool.
It was a dick joke.
Broadcast has been successfully terminated by the monk.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2018.